This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and along with my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen, this podcast explores excellence and high performance in teams and the way in which team building and engagement can positively impact on that pursuit. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate team engagements every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insights and inspiration to help you build a stronger team, you've come to the right place.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Team Builders Podcast. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate engagement events every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insights and inspiration to help you with building stronger teams, you are in the right place. And today, we're talking about energy and the impact that a leader's energy can have on a team, how it shows up, and how it performs. So I'm joined today, as always, by my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen. How are you both, gents?
Morning, Jonathan. Feeling good. 14 weeks off the calorie deficit, so I'm enjoying life for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, superb.
Yeah, that's extra star bar in the morning.
Yeah, go for it. You can go all in. Stephen, how are you?
Jonathan, I think I've lost my mojo for product placement. Hopefully the podcast we follow on here will give me a little inspiration.
Yeah, all right, okay. That was one of your worst, but I still liked it. So, gents, today we're talking about leaders' energy and how that impacts on the team and their teams. I've got a little few notes here. You know, we often focus on strategy, communication and delivery as leaders. But in this episode, I was keen to explore how that leaders' energy sets the pace for the team, often maybe without them realising it. The teams mirror what they see, what leaders can do to create the kind of environment where they want people to get engaged with their thoughts, their feelings. And so I'm just keen to get straight into it really and ask some of your points of view. So Jerry, how much does a leader's energy shape the behaviour of the team in your opinion?
I think a lot, to be honest with you. I find it a strong trait. I think I'm of the old adage, you know, the pace of the leader depicts the pace of the team. I really stand behind that and think that's like a strong thing. Where I can kind of go a little bit seesaw-y is if the team demand it or wait for it and only work to it. So it's like a bit of a fine balance. So you need to make sure your own team has energy for you as well as you have energy for them. I think that's probably one of the strongest things to work at as a team leader. As much as they're dependent on you, you need to be dependent on them, and they need to try and understand that their energy is everything as well.
Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, and you hope that they embrace it. Yeah. That it becomes part of them.
Yeah, and they understand the importance of it. I think that's probably the one thing when you mention leaders' energy and how it might shape the behaviour. And as a leader, you should always shape it in the right direction. I think that's how it should be.
And, you know, how important then do you think those elements of what isn't being said out loud as such, so it's about, I guess, how you come across subliminally?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, maybe it's too big a word for me. Okay, so I think I've thought deeply about this since you said we were going to discuss it. And I think that you can use it negatively and positively. We all are aware of our own natural energy. And I think when you steer off your natural energy deliberately to enforce a new energy, that's what causes confusion within teams because people don't know how to play to it. They obviously know you're either excited or upset, whichever direction you're going. You're either gone frantic or you're gone into yourself. And I think if you're aware of it and you play it purposeful, I think that's a damaging part of energy making and creating energy to get some sort of reaction from the team when they're unclear of what the change is. I know that might be a little bit deep, but I see it sometimes in teams around us, and I wonder if you're more, I speak about myself, if I was more honest to them and came forth with why the energy has shifted in those moments that they're maybe not aware of, but they're obviously aware something's changed, you might get more from the team in that moment, especially in challenging times, because generally when things are smooth and you're feeling good and life's good at home and life's good at work, you tend to be in your standard state. And then it's those dips, which some leaders have severe changes in their energy. Others just mellow ones, but I think still it's noticeable with people that you spend a lot of time with and where you are in that. And then there's that fear of how you deal with them in that moment. And, you know, we've got those in our business. I see them in other people's business. And I think it'd be a great wider debate to open it up and get people's opinion on how that affects the person with the energy and the person who's affected by the energy.
Absolutely, Jerry. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I think that for me, energy is all about focus, and it's all about how you carry yourself as well. And I think you can't always be 100% up all the time. And that's unrealistic, especially if you want to have long-term success. You can't always be crossing the finish line and on the podium pumped up with a trophy. But what you can do is stay focused on things and have energy devoted to what you think is your measure of success with your team. And as Jai said, always being honest with yourself. And yeah, there are always tough times, and that's when the energy of your team can pump you up. And a lot of that's to do, I think, with, you know, congruency. So that's not just what you say, it's what you do as well. So there's no point walking into a room with your team with your head down and talking about pumping up the performance and making the performance better. You would be better off trying to meter that energy so that they know it's going to be either a 3-month project, 6-month project, 5-year project. But success is all about keeping the focus on where you want to be,
yeah,
and what the reward will be at the end of that and through the process as well.
Do you think it can be like a burden to have to maintain the energy, or to, you know, to have to be something that you're not?
I think if it's false.
I think
it's false. I think, you know, when you see uber successful business people out there in the real world, people like Warren Buffett, who appears to be very quietly spoken, but he's been playing the game for, I don't know, 75 years.
Yeah.
That requires an enormous amount of focus and energy.
Yeah, to redo it.
And there will always be one-hit wonders that will come along that will make a loud noise. I'm reflected on the fact that as a slightly older gentleman in the audience, there's a lot of, I would call them influencers out there who, yeah, give you 15 seconds of massive pump-up and, you know, you feel inspired by it. But can they play the long game, and
yeah,
can they keep that energy up in the way that other teams can keep it up for continual success and not just be a one-hit wonder?
I think you have to be aware of like Stephen said, your energy.
Yeah.
Because I liked what he said there. It's not about being pumpy all of the time.
Yeah.
Because there can be different levels of energy, and you push on something there. Like Belvin has this, one of its key facets, if you like, is to, if you can be yourself 80% of the time, you'll be do well in that role. But if you try to be something else,
yeah.
So if you're not a natural, you know, high five or energy in that respect, then trying to be that will bring your performance down in the eyes of the team. But energy of commitment, performance, effort, that doesn't have to be high five. That could be, you know, just honesty, motivative, and that helps you carry the honesty across. That Steve mentioned, I think,
yep,
That's a good tie-in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the minute we hear energy, we do kind of think explosion. Woo!
Yes.
Well, which is probably the correct term for it. But if you're in a room of, or in a business that's not doing so well, the energy in that room compared to energy that's in a team that is doing well, I guess that's how we measure energy. But what I'm trying to get at here is that that's not always a true measure of what energy might be.
Yeah. How do you reflect on differing energies from leaders or owners or whatever that might be through to management teams and those kind of things, you know, whenever they conflict? Is that a difficult thing? I had some notes here around, you know, when different teams within a business might have different energies because of their leadership or however that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strong, good, difficult question. And the answer is to try and be able to work with it and sit with it, because we can't make people's energies different than what they bring. It's whether, well, I guess to be a bit brutal, do you want to put up with that?
Yeah.
Is that bringing a positive to the business?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just to you that you find it difficult? I think that's probably where it sits. If it's bringing a negative to the business performance, that's when it becomes an issue, for me anyway.
Yeah. You know, everybody talks about positive mental attitude. It doesn't always have to be positive. It can be realistic as well. So there's a balance in there about what you want to achieve and how you're going to do it with the team of people within the time constraint that you have as well. And I think best leaders are the ones that draw out the best values of people. Whether that's positive or realistic, I'm not saying a negative attitude is great, but sometimes it's good to say, well, no, we can't do that, but for the best interest of the business and the team.
Yeah, from a challenge perspective.
Absolutely,
yeah.
From a challenge perspective, it's unrealistic. So that's not negative, that's being realistic and honest as well. And I think that's a great thing for great leaders to draw upon.
Yeah, and energy doesn't bring inspiration either.
No.
You know, mm-hmm. Just tops the tank.
You know, there are some clients that would come to us looking to shift the energy within their team. How would we, you know, think about how they can go about that? You know, obviously, we have opportunities to work with some of those in delivering team engagement sessions, but, you know, even for themselves, where do they start that process?
For ourselves, you know, we are helicoptered in, almost parachuted in, so that we get a snapshot of that team at that time. And we don't care what their sector is. We don't care how long they've been in business. All we care about is that, you know, they try and, as a team, work together to try and overcome the challenge that's in front of them. And a lot of that's to do, again, with attitude, and that we design the right program and offer them activities and events which will hopefully float their boat, that they'll feel they've gained something out of it. And it's not all about winning trophies. It's about learning something about themselves and realising they're already a good team, maybe a great team. They can just tweak themselves, be a little bit better, and reward themselves for being a great team as well.
I think awareness too, awareness of the impact of energy is a good tool to have in your armory.
Yeah.
When to use it, how to use it, how long your team can last. Because in a dressing room, in a sporting environment, those moments before the big time, they get energy is massive. Like there's, you watch American football, just it's bloody crazy. Yeah. There's rappers in the changing room. It's crazy. So, you know, that's their moment of battle. They see where their fight begins. That's not always visible in a business because it can creep on you. But you need to call it in. If I look at energy, I would like to look at energy as a tool to your management qualities. And whatever your energy is, you play it fairly in the moment so that the team can like experience it and then work with it. I mean, I've been guilty myself of misusing an energy on occasion, and you see that, you know, the pitfall that brings. So using it right definitely brings the right result if it's a scrum or a burst, just like a football game.
Yeah.
Like we do some big events, and you know yourself, 20 minutes before that button gets pushed for the launch of that big event, you know, we're genies, our energy up, you know, we're on our toes, we're giving a bit of a bounce, we go, and that sometimes needs to be readdressed halfway through just to get us over the line. And then I've often seen at the end of an event when the clients are away, we have to rebuild the energy again. But that's what I class as match day energy.
Yeah.
That's probably time, different. Yeah, probably different than your business energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that, Jerry. And talking to your point of matched energy in particular, you know, something that we recognize whenever we deliver our events is often we might walk into a room or a conference environment where either there's been a lot of people traveling from all over the world, or they've been there all day and they've been talking intense business, or, you know, things are going on, et cetera, et cetera. And we have a very short window to try and shift that energy, change energy, or at least very much ready people to contribute to the session. And I know, Stephen, you often talk about being in peak state and ready to deliver on that. Can you talk to how we might go about that, and whenever we walk into a room, the small tools that we use to change or at least attempt to shift the energy is maybe a good way to look at it.
I think everybody plays a role in the organisation, and sometimes you put on a false face so that you either step up or don't step up according to the questions that are asked of you. But with our events, when we engage people with warm-up exercises and challenges, they step outside themselves. They almost forget who they are in the work environment, and they almost take their tie off and become themselves. And they say and do things that are a real reflection of themselves, their personality, their culture, their values, et cetera, et cetera. And that takes them out of their state. And normally when we walk into a room, their state may be quite low potentially because they've been... And I say this advisedly, it's almost as if they're being taught to, like in a school situation. So they just sit there, slide gently underneath the table and wait to be inspired. And maybe that's not the message that the company want to get ahead. But with us coming on board with them, we can get them engaged, step outside their normal comfort zone and really become themselves, whatever that might be. And they learn a lot about themselves, their teammates, and what it takes to work together, competition and collaboration, maybe in tandem.
Yeah, we're really lucky, aren't we? Because we deal in energy.
Yep.
Yeah. So we can really appreciate the impact of energy.
Yeah.
And some of it at the start of summer, we do it just to get ourselves pumped.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
But again, that's like in the moment.
Yeah, but it's a good reflection for being able to shift that briefly, even if it's just briefly to change your mind state. Or
And people like to please. That's really important, I think, to remember. We want to please those that we work with, and we want to feel rewarded from those that we please. So by showing what you want the business to achieve in that moment, short moment, long moment, and being emphatic about it, and then feeding back to the team and acknowledging the receipt of that, that will build even more energy in your business.
You know, a lot of businesses, they really measure the leadership energy at that time, and they would reflect on whether it's the right energy for the time of the business that they're in or the time of the project that they're in, like different projects. Again, we do a lot with oil and gas environment where some of these businesses and projects that they're working in, you know, are many, many, multiple years long. Do they reflect on changing the leadership to change the energy of that particular need at that time?
I think it's just understanding how people are different and how you can pace yourself so that you get short-term, medium-term and long-term rewards dependent on really what your challenges are. And the environment will change. You know, the price of oil, gas changes on a moment-by-moment basis. So to be able to adapt to that and be able to match your team to the challenges that are coming ahead. And that's all about, utilising and focusing your energy in the right direction. That keeps you in the game for the long time. It's easy to have short-term wins. It's hard to have long-term success, not just in business, but in performance, you know, in life in general. Long-term performance is where you get great success. proper success.
It must, you know, because I guess that change must impact teams a lot. Not to go too much into the sports thing, but I'm a Liverpool fan myself, and we went. Well,
somebody has to.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We went from having Jurgen Klopp as our manager, this big, you know, charismatic, high energy, yep. high passion personality, to Arne Slot, who is more of a measured approach,
yep.
More tactical, all of those kind of things. It, you know, is that how does a team deal with that?
You know, it's brutal.
Yeah,
it's talking about the sport because, in fact, they deal more with the energy of the team and the success of the team than the financial benefit of the club, because they pay people out 5, 6, 8, 10 million
yeah.
for not having the team working for them.
Yeah.
So that just shows you where they value the winning. And I know winning brings money, I mean, but there's a lot of teams who don't put winning at the forefront of the team's success. You know, I wrote down here, a winning team doesn't mean a financial winning team.
Mm.
And not to stick with, but Formula One,
yeah.
like they enter at the lowest level, grid 20,
yeah.
and they're not financially winning, but yeah. the team is pumped to the max to yeah. get them there. Red Bull was a huge example back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, know. It's just they have to deal with that change, yeah. and there's all, you know, again.
And Jurgen Klopp was
casualties off that. And
he was a leader to any, you talk to any Man United fan,
yeah,
one
yeah,
of the
yeah.
worst Liverpool supporters ever.
Yeah.
They'd agree that Klopp was one of the legends of the team environment. Him and Alex Ferguson probably.
Yeah.
And a few others, but just shows, doesn't it? If you have the dressing room, as they call it, you will drag your team from relegation to yeah, victory.
Absolutely.
I think that applies to any aspect of life. You know, as you know, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. and, you know...
More product placement.
More pink.
Yeah, absolutely. Tickets in the post. But no, Taylor Swift has a massive team, travels around the world, and nobody in her team wants her to go on stage and fall or complain about the cold or say how tired she is or she's got a sore throat. Their team are there to support her performing night after night after night at the highest level to entertain the people that have paid good money to see a superstar. And, you know, the results are there. And that goes across the board for anybody in the entertainment world that you want to see perform again and again and again and again. And that, yeah, that's true success, I think. Someone who can replicate it again and again despite the environmental conditions.
Yeah, they want to please. They want to please.
Absolutely.
And getting the, like, you've seen the wee show on TV, and she yeah. gives them, like, the biggest, like, you're brilliant.
Yeah. yeah.
And, I mean, that must mean the world to them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So.
And the results are there.
Yeah. So if you're that type of leader and people want to, if they take that from you, they yeah. go, that's made my day.
Yeah.
I think that's.
Well, if there's ever a place to finish a podcast episode. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Totally, you know, picking up on some of those points around the shifting in energy, how team leaders can change to do that or choose to do that and make a big impact on the success of their teams. And again, we see a lot of that and a lot of that need whenever an organisation employs us to be part of their day, to help shift that energy, put their teams and their employees into maybe a slightly different mental state to allow them to attack the next phase of their journey.
Yeah.
Jens, thanks very much. Really appreciate the input today. I'll look forward to catch you next time when we've got some interesting things to talk about. I'll keep that secret for now. But to everybody else listening, we really appreciate your attention. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Team Builders Podcast. If you'd like some more insights, ideas and inspiration to help your team thrive, head over to our website. It's teamchallenge-company.co.uk, or be sure to follow us on social media where you can check out some of our thought leadership pieces that myself, Jerry and Stephen publish regularly. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time on the Team Builders Podcast. Thanks so much for listening to that episode of the Team Builders Podcast. For more insights, ideas and inspiration, head to teamchallenge-company.co.uk or follow us on social media. We would love to engage with you there. For everything else, we look forward to catching you again on the Team Builders Podcast.